Prashas Rabbi Taretsky, Prashas Rabbi Cohen, Prashas, so many of my friends, familiar faces. Baruch Hashem, I've been in Eretz Yisrael since Monday morning. And I was pretending on my way to the airport on Sunday, I was pretending that I went to Shul on Shabbos, and the Baal Kore said, Lech Lecha Me'artzecha. So I said, okay, it's time to get serious. It's not every day you hear the Dvar Hashem, because Baruch says, Lech Lecha Me'artzecha, leave your family behind. It's time to go to Eretz Yisrael. I figured I had it a little bit easier than Avraham Avinu in some respects. So I went to the airport on Sunday. I got on the plane Monday morning. I said, Ribbono Shalom, here I am, 6 a.m. Lech Lecha Me'artzecha. It's good to be in Eretz Yisrael. It's sad to think that B'derech HaTeva, I'm heading back Motzei Shabbos already. Shalvim used to be the first stop of the trip, and now it's become towards the end of the trip. But either way, it's a very big schus to be here with you, and I'm excited to learn with you. And there's a lot of different topics that I want to share with you. I tried to speak to some of you to get a sense of what would be a good topic. But I figure since you're learning in yeshiva, and since the main thing that you're trying to do in Eretz Yisrael, probably in the simplistic sense, is learning Torah. So I figured we would talk a little bit about why we learn Torah, what we're trying to accomplish here. What Masechta are you learning this year? If I may ask, Ksuvos, okay? So I'm sure many of us are very, very deeply immersed at this point in Ksuvos. I'm sure some of us are trying to finish Masechtos. I'm sure many of us are exploring new areas of Talmud Torah. And I want to try to frame it a little bit, because again, sometimes we get so involved in the learning process that a little bit, it's possible that we forget sort of what the big picture of what we're trying to do is. So I'll start with a Maisa from a Blabla Eger. Rav Leibel Eger, of course, is known Derech Agav as the grandson of Rabbi Akiva Eger, known Derech Agav as the son of Rav Shlomo Eger. Rav Leibel Eger was certainly Rav Leibel Eger in his own right. And what set him apart from his father and grandfather is that Rav Leibel chose a path that was a little bit different than his father and grandfather. He entered into the world of Kotsk and Ishbitz and explored Chassidus and became a fiery Chassidus Rebbe. There's different stories, some more true, some less true, about exactly how that worked in terms of the family dynamic. But Rav Leibel, when he was first exploring, when he was on his way to deciding how he wants to live his life, had the following experience. He spent Yom Noraim by one of the great centers of Chassidus at the time, and he wanted to see, what are these Chassidim about? He was curious, he was exploring, he was interested. It's important. It's B'nai Torah. You know, sometimes we gravitate towards the area of Avodas Hashem that's most comfortable and most natural, and lav dafka, that's our tafkid in this world. So Rav Leibel decided, he was curious, something was pulling at his heart, he wanted to go out, he wanted to explore. And he spent the Yom Noraim with Chassidim. He was there, Rosh Hashanah, very inspired. Seres Mei Tshuva, again, Gvaldik, he says, you know what, I'm going to stay for Yom Kippur, we'll see what Yom Kippur brings, and then I'll make a decision, sort of, in terms of the derech of my Avodas Hashem, what my Hashkafas HaChaim is going to be moving forward. So Rav Leibel is there, Yom Kippur, the davening is very passionate, enthusiastic, he's very inspired, he's captivated. And then all of a sudden, after Shachris on Yom Kippur, all of a sudden there's a commotion in the Beis Medrash, and tables start to move around. And Rav Leibel is not familiar with all the Hasidic Menhagim, he's not sure exactly what this is. So he says to someone, what's happening here? They say, Kiddush, Kiddush, time for Kiddush. So he says, it's Yom Kippur. What do you mean, Kiddush? What's Kiddush on Yom Kippur? They said, yeah, we're going to have a few L'chaims. A few L'chaims on Yom Kippur. Said, yeah, it'll make it'll enhance the day, it'll make it more spiritual. You know, we're getting a little tired, the Davin gets a little schleppy by this point. A few L'chaims. And he sees, like, they're not joking, they're moving around, they're setting up. You know, the Kiddush Gabbai is busy setting up the way things are supposed to be, everyone has their seat, moving the pieces around, they're taking out shot glasses. So Rav Leibel is completely beside himself. He's ready to run for his life. He doesn't know what this is, what religion these people are practicing. And he says to them, the Torah says, "Ve'nisa b'snaf shoseicha." It's Yom Kippur. No response. And they're moving, they're setting up. So he runs over to the shelf, he grabs a Rambam. He shows them, Shteitin Rambam, you can't eat on Yom Kippur. Nothing, no response. Shulchan Aruch. Rambam very often is the psak of the Shulchan Aruch, but okay, maybe they need to see it in the Shulchan Aruch. He goes, he grabs the Shulchan Aruch, he's showing, look, it's also to eat on Yom Kippur. I don't understand what's going on here. And they're setting up, and they're getting ready, they're pouring the glasses. He figures, they're Hasidim, maybe Hasidim need to hear it in their own language. Right? Maybe I need to show them a Zohar or something. So he runs over to the shelf, he grabs the Zohar Kadosh, he flips open with his tremendous Bekiyas, he starts showing passages, the Zohar says, the person who eats on Yom Kippur, it's so severe, it's so terrible, nothing. They're mamish, they're pouring shot glasses, it's on Yom Kippur. In the middle of the day, they're literally pouring shots on Yom Kippur. And the raising of the glass is about to make Kiddush. And Reb Leibel is completely beside himself. And all of a sudden, in a last moment of desperation, before he flees town, Reb Leibel turns to all the Hasidim gathered there. He gives a clap on the table. And he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Zok Nay. Hashem says, no. So all of a sudden, everything stops. They put down the glasses. They say, oh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Oh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is part of this. Hashem says we're not allowed to do this. Oh. They pack up the Kiddush. They put everything away. And Reb Leibel got his first major lesson, maybe one of the essential principles of what Hasidus was trying to do to the world, or to remind the world is a better way to say it, that you could quote all the Pesukim in the world, you can quote all the Rambams, you can quote all the Shulchan Aruchs, you can quote all the Zohars, you can quote every passage in the Zohar Kaddish, but if it has nothing to do with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if it's not connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then something's terribly off. That was the lesson that Rav Leibel Eger learned. Reb Leibel passed away in 1888, just to give us a little context of when this was. This was Reb Leibel's first introduction, and the moment that he sort of decided that this is something I need to learn, this is a lesson I need to chazer over, and I need to internalize, and he decided to forge a different path, a path that was a little bit different than his father and his grandfather. The most important relationship we have in the world is with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it's a very difficult relationship to forge, because how do I interact with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? How do I get to know HaKadosh Baruch Hu? How do I know Hashem? Have I met Hashem? Did I ever shake his hand and give him a Shalom Aleichem? Have I seen Hashem? Have I heard Hashem? Right? Not with my natural faculties. I never laid eyes upon Hashem. I never heard a bas kol. I never received a nevuah or ruach HaKodesh. So I haven't heard Hashem in that way. So how do I get to know Hashem? Is it possible to know Hashem? A couple of years ago, a sefer came out called Simchas Mordechai. Beautiful collection of Torahs from Rav Mordechai Gifter. And in there is printed Divrei Zikaron, a Yahrzeit shmuz that Rav Mordechai Gifter, the Rosh Yeshiva of Telz, shared on the occasion of the Yahrzeit of the founding Rosh Yeshiva of Telz, Rav Yosef Yehuda Leib Lach, Zecher Tzadik Livrach. Now it's amazing, for those who don't know the story of Rav Gifter, Rav Gifter was born in Virginia. Rav Gifter was an American kid. Rav Gifter, in his youngest years, was not Hagon, Harav, Rosh Yeshiva of Telz, Rav Mordechai Gifter. He was Max Gifter, a regular American kid who got on a boat in 1932. Can you imagine? His parents put him on a boat. A kid born in Virginia, Max Gifter, born in Virginia, got on a boat in 1932 to travel to learn in Telz. Not Telz like Riverdale or Telz Cleveland. Telz, Lithuania. Can you imagine? Send your child a... They didn't have WhatsApp back then. I'm saying you couldn't check in with mommy every morning. And Rav Gifter went to learn in Telz. And of course, Max Gifter became Rav Mordechai Gifter, became one of the Rosh Yeshiva of the Telz Yeshiva many years later, helped to transplant Telz to America after Telz, Lithuania, had been completely decimated by the Nazis, Yimach Shmo, along with Rav Elie Meir Blach. So in this volume, in this Divrei Zikaron, in this volume, there's a section of Divrei Zikaron, for the first Rosh Yeshiva of Telz. Now what's so interesting is that Rav Blach, Rav Yosef Yehuda Leib Blach, passed away in 1930. Rav Gifter first came to Telz, Lithuania in 1932, which means he never met the Rosh Yeshiva. So here he is trying to give over a Yahrzeit shir, recollections of the Rosh Yeshiva, who he never met. And Rav Gifter begins by acknowledging what a strange thing that is. How am I going to speak in a meaningful fashion about someone who I've never met? I've certainly read the Torahs of the Rosh Yeshiva. I've certainly heard from the family members of the Rosh Yeshiva, the Blach family, the outstanding family of Rosh Yeshiva from Telz. He said, but I never met the Rosh Yeshiva. I never heard his voice. I never saw him face to face. How could I possibly get up and present Divrei Zikaron to talk about and share recollections of the Rosh Yeshiva I never met? And Rav Gifter says, it has to be that it's possible to do such a thing. Why? Because the most significant relationship we have in our entire lives is with someone we've never met. If meeting someone means seeing them face to face, meeting someone means hearing their voice, then the most critical relationship that every Jew has with Avinu Shemashamayim, with the Borei Olam, then I have no kesher to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How could I talk to Hashem? How could I have anything to do with Hashem? How could I understand what Hashem wants from me if I never met Hashem? I never saw Hashem. Never interacted, in a natural sense, using my natural faculty. I never spoke to Hashem. I don't know anything about Hashem. So Rav Gifter says, if obviously it's possible, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants that every Jew should have a very deep relationship with him, it must be possible to know someone who you've never met in that way. So the question becomes, as Jews who want to have a keshar with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who want to interact with the Borei Olam, so how do we meet Hashem? Where do we meet Hashem? How do we interact with Hashem? And the answer is right here. The answer is in yeshiva. The answer is through Lima Torah. That when we sit and we learn HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah, we're having an interaction with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're making contact with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The first word we ever heard from HaKadosh Baruch Hu at our Sinai was the word Anochi. Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Asher Seisichem Eretz Mitzrayim, Beis Avadim, I took you out of Mitzrayim, I freed you from the house of slavery. Anochi. The Gemara says in Shabbos, Kuf Hayom Aleph, that the word Anochi is no trikon. It's Rashi Tevos. That Aleph, Nun, Chaf, Yud stands for something. What does it stand for? Kadosh Baruch Hu said, so to speak, to Klai Yisrael, in giving them the Torah, Aleph Nun Chaf Yod Ana Nafshi Ksivis Yehavisa. I wrote myself down, I recorded my essence in print, and I've given it to you, I've transferred it to you. Which means that when a Jew sits and learns Torah, you're sitting with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're interacting with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in written form, Kiviyachal. The Or Gedaliah writes in Parsha Shmini, Rav Gedaliah Shur, the great Rosh Yeshiva from Torah Vadas, he writes in Parsha Shmini that the Kotzker sent his son-in-law to learn by the Chiddush Erin. Menachem Mendel of Kotzk, Fiery Saraf of Kotzk, he sent his son-in-law, the Avnei Nezer, author of the Eglei Tal, Avnei Nezer, the Rebbe of Sokachov, and these were geniuses in Torah, he sent him to learn, he wanted him to learn by the Chiddush Erin, by the first Ger Rebbe. And the Kotzker said to his son-in-law, the Avnei Nezer, he said, I'm not sending you to the Chiddush Erin because he's such a genius in Torah, which he was, which he is. We have the Chiddushim. People think Chiddush Erim is like a little skinny volume on Chumash with Chassidus Shavarlach. There's also Chiddush Erim, a fat volume like this of Ha'aros and Chiddushim on Meseches Gittin and many Mesechtos. I have Meseches Gittin in my office, like right across from where I sit, and I look up sometimes at the bookshelf and I see the Chiddushim on Gittin. I don't know one piece from the Chiddushim on Gittin, but I know it's a big volume. And I flip through, there's actually something written in there. So these great Chassidus rabbis, we sometimes forget, they knew a lot of Torah also. So the Kotzker said, I'm not sending you my son-in-law, I'm not sending you Avnei Nezer to learn from the Gaonis of the Chiddush Erim, which certainly was a reality of the Chiddush Erim's mind and his Torah understanding. But the Or Gedaliah writes, he says that the Kotzker told Avnei Nezer, I want you to go and see how the Chiddush Erim sits in front of a Gemara. I want you to see how a Jew is supposed to sit in front of a Gemara. What does that mean? Or Gedaliah quotes from the Divrei Chaim of Sanz, who said that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu was transmitting the Torah to this world, he says, so to speak, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took a fire from Shemayim and sent it down to this earth, and he called that fire Rava. He took another fire from the Olam HaEmes and he sent it down to this world, and he called it Abayim. When we sit and we learn the Gemara, we're not just studying historical figures of the Jewish tradition. Abaya, Rava, Ravina, Rav Ashi. Right? These people are transmitting to us the Torah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. And therefore, The Kotzker said, I want you to learn that there's a way that a Jew sits in front of a Sefer. That I have to remind myself, I have to be fully aware of the fact that I'm learning Torah Hashem. That this is not just another book, it's not just another subject. The Torah Tamima writes in Parshas Yisro, that whenever you read a book, you learn a lot about the author. You learn their style, you learn their desires, right? Even if it's a book that's not a biography or an autobiography, but you learn a lot about the person when you study their writings. So the Torah Tamim writes in Parshas Yisro that when the Gemara in Shabbos says Daf Kofei Amad Aleph that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wrote himself down and gave himself to us, it's possible for a person to know what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is about when you study the Torah. You get to know Hashem. It's funny because Hashem sometimes presents himself in a very strange way. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Tazriya Mitzora, I'm going to present myself to you in the nitty-gritty details of Tzaras. So you're sitting there and it's Shnai Mikra this time of the year is a great pleasure compared to, you get to so many parshas in a row of the details of the Mishkan, and then you get to some of the Karbanos, which we're less familiar with, and then you get to Tazriya Mitzora and you're trying to figure out, and you say, this year I'm really going to do it right. I'm going to sit down, I'm going to learn Chumash, and I'm going to learn Rashi, I'm not just going to race through it. I'm going to find out that there's a Masechta called Masechta Negayim, and I'm going to learn how this actually works. And then you take a step back and you say, whoa, hold on a second. Why is HaKadosh Baruch Hu introducing himself to me again through the minutia, through these details of halacha? Many halachos which are not nogei lemaisa b'zman hazeh. And yet the Gemara in Shabbos is telling us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wrote himself down and gave himself to us through the Torah. Which means that when I sit in front of the Sefer, when I sit in front of a Gemara or a Chumash, or any area of Torah, I have to remind myself this is an encounter with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm sitting here and I'm learning with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm learning about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Someone once brought a Sefer to Rav Baruch Ber Leibowitz, the great Rosh Yeshiva of Kamenitz. And they asked Rav Baruch Ber for a skama to the Sefer. Someone else had brought it on behalf of the Mechaber. And Rav Baruch Ber said, I'm not comfortable writing a skama for the Sefer. They said, Rebbe, what do you find in it that's so controversial, so offensive, what's so bothersome to you? So he said, there's something in the Sefer that was very upsetting to me. So he says, wow, what's so upsetting to you? Looks like a very nice Sefer. I read through it myself. It's filled with beautiful Torah insights. So he said, I didn't like how the author in the Sefer refers to the Jewish people as the Am HaSefer, the people of the book. I don't like that term. So his fellow turned to Rav Baruch Ber, and he said to Rav Baruch Ber, you know, that term is not something that this author made up. In the Kuzari, which is a very important work of Jewish philosophy, it's an acceptable Sefer. In the Kuzari, the Jewish people are praised as being the Am HaSefer. So Rav Baruch Ber said, yeah, but in the Kuzari, who calls the Jewish people the Am HaSefer? Who refers to us in that way? It's not the Chaver, it's not the Yid, right? It's the Melech. It's the Melech when he's exploring the different religions, right? He looks at the Jewish people and says, wow, you Jews, you're very studious. You're always busy with your books, right? But Baruch Ber said there's a danger in referring to the Jewish people as the Am HaSefer, because we're not really the Am HaSefer, we're the Am HaTorah. What's the difference? The difference is, Baruch Ber, with his great sensitivity, and Tosa might sound like, oh, come on, what's the big deal? We understand what it meant. But Baruch Ber was sensitive. God forbid, what happens if Torah just becomes another Sefer? If it's just another book? There's a lot of good books in the world, filled with lots of wisdom. Chazal understand that Chachma Bagayim, if someone says there's Chachma Bagayim Tamin, there's a truth to that reality. There's a lot of wisdom, there's a lot of things to learn. I enjoy English literature. I enjoy philosophy. There's so many books and they're all so insightful. So what distinguishes Torah, what distinguishes the Gemara Maseches Ksubis, right, from a great work of some philosopher? And the answer is that one is the word of Hashem and one is not. One is made by Basar Vadam and the other is Mamish, the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it's so important that when we spend our time in Yeshiva, we don't forget that. That we become fully aware of the fact that when we're learning Torah, we're learning HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah. That we're having a direct encounter with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu in written form. Kotzker once said something very sharp. And I hope this doesn't make anyone uncomfortable in the room. Kotzker always said things in his very fiery way. That was his way of speaking. And even if you don't think that his statement is 100% true, right, and you don't think this is a fair comparison of Hasidim and Misnagdim, but the idea is certainly true, and it's something we can learn from regardless. The Kotzker said, what's the difference? It's brought in the Sefer Emes of Amunah from the Kotzker. What's the difference between a Chassid and a Misnagd? What's the difference between a Chassid and a Misnagd? Again, the Kotzker was very sharp. So forgive me if it's too sharp for us. The Kotzker said, a Misnagd is afraid of the Shulchan Aruch. He has fear of the Shulchan Aruch. He walks into the Beis Medrash and he opens up the Shulchan Aruch and he learns the Halacha. He never knew. He said, oh, I never knew you're not allowed to do that on Shabbos. I need to be more careful. I need to be more sensitive. He opens up the Mishnah Berurah. He says, oh, I never knew. I never knew. How did I go my whole life? I never knew this. Oh. And he feels pained over that. And that's a very holy thing. The Kotzker said, while a Misnagid is afraid of the Shulchan Aruch, a Chassid, the slight nuance is that a Chassid is afraid of a Kodesh Baruch who commands him to keep the Shulchan Aruch. What's the difference? The difference is, do I recognize that within the Shulchan Aruch is HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaking to me? It's not just Rav Yosef Cairo speaking to me. It's not just the Rambam speaking to me. It's not just the Rosh or the Rif speaking to me through the pages of the Shulchan Aruch. It's not just Rav Moshe Isserles speaking to me in the Shulchan Aruch. It's the Creator of the Universe speaking to me through the Shulchan Aruch. And again, it's a fine nuance, but it's something that's so important to keep in mind. Because again, I become so invested in the books, but I forget that the books are supposed to bring me to a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And as the tachlis of Limud Torah, and the reason the Talmud Torah connected Kulam, the reason we spend so much time trying to figure out and to crack the code of Maseches Ksubis, is because we want to have a relationship with the Creator of the world, with the Kodesh Baruch. The Divrei Yisrael, the Majid Tzarebi, explained the pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim. Again, it's a pasuk, all the pasuk of Mishpatim, every line of Mishpatim, even with Rashi, it's a miniature sugya in one of the Bavas, one of the Masechtos of Shas. The pasuk says in Perichov Beis Pasuches, Al kol devar pesha al shor al chamor al se al salma. Al kol aveida asher yomer ki hu zeh. Ad elokim yavo devar shneim asher yashion elohim. Yeshalim shneim l'reyim. That if there's a machlokas, whether it's about a shor or a chamor or a seh or a garment or an aveda, asher yomer ki uzeh, maybe there's modeh b'miksas. So you come to the Elohim, which means the judges. Ad Elohim yavod var shneim, asher yarshiyun Elohim yishalim shneim lor eum. And the judges will work it out. Baba Kama, in one pasuk. Rashi gives us a little bit of the background to the story. But the Majlis Rebbe said, perhaps we can understand this pasuk in a much deeper way, based on a comment of the Zohar Kodesh. The Zohar says the following. I'll read you a Hebrew translation of the Zohar. Sipsei Chaim, in his volume that I'm holding, quotes it. It's the Zohar in Parshas Baalos. Rabbi Shimon Amar, again, this is a translation of the Zohar in Baalos, Kufnun Bezim Ralf. Rabbi Shimon Amar, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai said, Vai lahu ben adam sheomer shetorah ba, lehiros lanu sipurim sta. God forbid to look at the Torah and say, the Torah is a bunch of nice stories. The history of the Jewish people, a thing of the past. Great personalities, but stories, sipurim ba'alma, umilim pshutos, and simple details, right? Simple facts, basic laws. God forbid, vai, says Rabbi Shimon, vai, woe to the person who says such a thing. She'im kein, because if a person says the Torah is nothing other than simple stories and a list of laws, afilu bezman hazeh anachnu yicholim lasos Torah. So then we could say, I'm also going to write Torah. Pirkei Avos says, Asara Nisyonos is Nasa Avram Avinu. So Avram had his tests, but Harry Potter also had his tests. And maybe Harry Potter's tests are more exciting than Avram Avinu's tests. And maybe Harry Potter's tests are on the big screen. So who's to say, if it's just a bunch of stories, so we'll write better stories. We'll write more exciting stories with faster cars and fancier weapons. Right? God forbid, says Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, to look at the Torah and say, it's just a nice story. Nice adventures, an adventure of Avram, the adventures of Yitzchak, Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, Leah. Right? God forbid to say that the Torah is nothing other than stories. Because when a person does such a thing, you degrade the Torah. If you look at the Torah and only choose to learn the Torah superficially, then the Zohar Kadosh says, Vai, woe to the person. The Zohar says, Tipach Atzman, Tipach Ruchan. The bones of such a person should be crushed. The etzem of the person should be crushed because they're missing the essence of Torah. They're taking the outer trappings of Torah, the clothing, the garment of Torah, and they're leaving behind the neshama of Torah. So says the Majlis Rebbe, Al kol devar pesha al shura amor al seh al salma, al kol aveda shayomer ki uzeh. Listen to how the Majlis Rebbe reads it. It's very sharp. The Majlis Rebbe says, thank you. The Majlis Rebbe says, I'm just going to put it here. Thank you, Rebbe. The Majlis Rebbe says, Al kol devar pesha. You know what one of the biggest averas you could do is? Al kol devar pesha. Al kol devar pesha, one of the biggest averas a person could do, is that you look at al shor, al chamor, al seh, al salma. You look at shor shenagal chasapara. You look at shnayim bofsim betalis, and you look at all the great sugyas of shas. Al kol aveda, asher yomar ki hu zeh. That you say about all of these things, ki hu zeh, it is what it is. What do you mean? It is what it is. Shnayim bofsim betalis is about two people fighting over a talis. You know, work it out. Work it out. You learn about Avram Avinu, and you read stories. Sipurim ba'alma. Says the Majlis Rebbe, Al kol devar pesha. One of the greatest averos you could do. One of the greatest ways you could undermine the very essence of Torah is that you just say, Al shor, Al chamor, each of these sugyas in shas. Asher yomar ki uzeh, it is what it is. Pshuto shel mikra. That's where it starts and that's where it ends. Of course that's where it starts. But says Rabbi Shimon, Vai, woe to the person who says that's where it ends. Woe to the person who doesn't understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is choosing to speak to us through all of these complicated psukim, these machloksim of people in Parshas Mishpatim. That every detail of the Torah is HaKadosh Baruch Hu trying to talk to us. And if we lose sight of that, if we get so involved in the sugya that we forget that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is trying to have a relationship with us through Maseches Ketubos or whatever else we're learning, so then again we've lost sight of the tachlis of our existence, which is to have a relationship with the Creator of the world. The Chos of Lublin one time was learning with one of his Talmidim. It's brought in different Sfarim, different Nuschaos of the story, who exactly it was. But they said the Chos was learning with Rav Simcha Bunim of Prishischa one time. And the Chos had told Rav Simcha Bunim, he said, if we're ever learning and we get too involved in the Sugya, to the point that you think I've forgotten about Hashem, that I'm not thinking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I want you to call me out on it. Okay. So one time, you know, they got deep into the Sugya, and the Sfarim were coming off the shelf. And they're screaming at each other. That's a sign of a good chavrusa. You scream at each other. You're loudest in the Beis Medrash. Like it says in Avos Rabbi Nassan, it says the father and son walk into the Beis Medrash. And they're at each other's neck. They're ready to kill each other. And then when it's over, they give each other a big hug. They say, that was gavaldik. It was so much fun. I had the best time with you. And an outsider watching this scene is ready to call the cops. What are you screaming at each other about? But that's how we learn Torah. Mechamta shel Torah.
V'chamta shel Torah. So the Chozer Lublin or Simcha Bunim are sitting one time, and their mom is getting into it, and they're deep into the machlokas, and they're going back and forth, and each one's trying to outwit the other one. You know, a Talmudic chess match. And all of a sudden, our Simcha Bunim thinks to himself, my Rebbe told me, if I think we've ever lost sight of the Rabbonu Sholem, then I shouldn't be ashamed to tell him. So Simcha Bunim's thinking to himself, he says, you know, I think we're like deep in it now. I feel like we've a little bit lost our connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Simcha Bunim made the slightest motion to start to say something to his Rebbe, the Chozer Lublin. He was about to say, Rebbe, you know, I think you know, the sugi is gevaldik, right? But I feel like this has nothing to do with Hashem anymore. We have to retrace our steps a little bit. He's about to say something. He's about to open his mouth to say something to his Rebbe. And all of a sudden, the Chozer sees the slightest body movement of a Simcha Bunim. The Chozer goes, I still got it. I'm still connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm still connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To make sure that the Torah that we're learning is the Torah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That I don't lose myself. That I don't lose myself in the mushroom of the Torah. But I remember that there's a nimshal to the Torah. That there's a Borei Olam who commands me to study and to practice that Torah. Sometimes you come to yeshiva, and now we'll talk a little more practical. Because how do you do that? So what am I supposed to do? I'm supposed to sit around all day thinking about Hashem? How am I going to learn ksubas if I sit around thinking about Hashem all day? And that's not what I'm preaching. I'm not saying we should sit around thinking about Hashem all day. I'm not saying you have to spend 5 hours in a forest every day doing hisvodas to be connected to Hashem. You can be connected to Hashem through gemar ksubas. That is what I'm saying. You can be connected through HaKadosh Baruch Hu through all these sugyas that are mentioned in this pasuk. Right? But it can't be ki huzeh. I have to remind myself, why am I learning Torah? Why am I staying up all night trying to figure out Tosfos? For what? For what purpose? What am I trying to achieve by mastering this Tosfos? Where am I trying to get with this Tosfos? Right? What's the tachlis of my life through this Tosfos? Rav Kook used to give an unbelievable mashal. And again, it tells us, it reminds us, how sometimes we have a misunderstanding and an expectation of how the Torah is going to reveal itself to us. Because Hashem is hidden within every daf and every word, every line of every gemara and every tosfos and every posek and every rishon. But we have to learn to identify HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A person comes to yeshiva, a person is getting more serious about Torah. So Rav Kook used to give the following mashal about how we need to present ourselves before the Torah. Again, the way that the Kotzker said to the Avnei Nezer, I want you to see the humility with which the Chiddush HaRim sits in front of his Gemara. I want you to just learn that. That's the most important thing you can learn from him. How a Jew sits in front of a Sefer. More than the Chiddush that he has. How does a Jew sit in front of a Sefer? So Rav Kook gave the following mashal. He said, imagine there's this girl. She's an unbelievable girl. And all the young men were of marriageable age. They all have their eye on this girl. She's a big tzaddikas. She's a balas midos tovos. She's very pretty. Great personality. Great sense of humor. And everyone wants to go out with this girl. It just so happens that this girl's parents happen to be friends with this fellow, this young fellow's parents, and they think it's such a nice idea, you know, if our daughter would go out with this guy. Who's this guy? This guy is not such a great guy. He's a shtickle about gaiva, thinks he's a big shot, right? But he's not such a great guy. He's really not such a refined person. He's got a lot of work to do on himself. He really shouldn't even be dating. But the parents think it's so cute. We know each other from so long ago. So how cute would it be if our kids got married? So the girl knows this guy's not shaykh for her, but you know, keep it out of aim. Girl's a big tzaddikah. So she goes, okay, I'll go out on a date with him. So his friends hear that he's going out, that he got a date with this girl, and everyone's so excited. Everyone's so happy for him. Whoa, you're so lucky, you're getting to go out with Sprinza. She's such a great girl. Everyone talks about Sprinza. Everyone wants to marry Sprinza. She's an amazing girl. So he says, you know, he's a big bald guy. We'll see. I don't know. We'll see if she's as great as everyone says she is. He thinks he's, you know, he's a big shot. So he comes to pick her up on the date, and she opens the door. He sees she's wearing a very weird, funny-looking dress. Her hair is a little bit messy. This is the girl everyone says is so pretty. And she gets in the car. They go out to eat. Takes her out to a restaurant, and she's talking to the waiter. She's not very respectful. You know, no please, no thank you. He's making all these great jokes that he's been practicing for weeks, you know, leading up to the date, right? And she's not laughing. Or she's laughing a little bit late, it's a little bit awkward, conversation's not flowing, and this is like supposed to be like this awesome girl. Right? After a couple hours of a really awkward date, he takes her home, drops her off, goes back to his dira, he's back at the apartment, and the friend's like, wow, how was it? Must have been so amazing. And he says, I don't get you guys. I don't understand what everyone thinks about this girl. She's like not anything that people think she is. She was very unattractive in every sense. She's not so smart, she's not so funny, she doesn't have such a great personality, she's really not so nice, she's not so pretty. And the friends start to laugh in his face. They say, you're such a fool. Don't you understand what happened here? She doesn't want to marry you. She's not interested. She only went out with you because her parents pushed her to go out with you. As a chesed to her parents, she went out with you. She doesn't want to marry you, so she made herself unattractive to you. She doesn't want you to like her because she doesn't feel that you're worthy of having a relationship with her. So Rav Kook used to say that it's the same thing when we sit down with the Torah. Sometimes we come to the Beis Medrash, you know, we're big shots, we come in, we sit down, we open up the Torah, and we say, new Torah, everyone says you're so great. My Rebbeim say you're so great. I've heard you're so inspiring. So inspire me. Blow me away, Torah. All right, show me how great you are. And the Torah says, whoa, who do you think you are? I'm a Kodesh Baruch Hu in written form. You're going to come? You're going to come with that attitude? No humility? No sense of anava to sit down, to want to learn? Right? So the Torah hides itself from us. The Torah conceals itself from us. Because the Torah is not interested in being with such a person. A person who's not a refined person, a person who's not approaching the Torah in the right way, the Torah runs away from us. And therefore, when we sit down with the Torah, we have to remind ourselves, I have an opportunity to have a date with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm sitting down on a date with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Or the mashal of the Tanya in the fourth parak. It's like hugging the king when we learn Torah. You're making direct contact with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's true, the king is wearing many garments. The king is wrapped in many layers. Right? But when you hug the king in his clothing, you're hugging the king. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is wrapped inside of every daf, every sugya of Mesachas Ketubos. And it's our job with humility to come, to sit down, to sit with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to sit with the Gemara, whatever it is that we're learning, and to ask ourselves, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, will you allow me to have a relationship with you? Will you let me in a little bit? Will you expose yourself to me a little bit so I can see what's so great about you? Because I know, objectively, I know that you're the greatest thing in the world. The Zohar refers to all 613 mitzvos as taryag itin. 613 itin, etzos, pieces of advice. Advice for what? That's a funny way to refer to mitzvos. Mitzvos are commandments, obligations. Taryag itin, 613 etzos. The Rambam, in Hilchos Temura, in Perak Dalet, Halacha Yud Gimel, also refers to the Torah as etzos merachok. Etzos, advice. Advice? The Torah's advice? It's what our mitzvos advice. Advice sounds kind of optional. What's the advice? What advice are all the mitzvos giving me? David HaMelech as well. Tehillim Kuf Yud Tes. David HaMelech says, Gam Edosecha Shashu'ai Anche Atzosi. That the mitzvos, the Torah which I delight in, are Anche Atzosi. They offer counsel to me. They give me advice. So the Zohar, the Rambam, David HaMelech, the Torah's advice. Taryag Eaton, 613 pieces of advice. Advice for what? Advice to do what? Advice, what's the Torah directing me to? Apparently there's a common theme that all the mitzvot are pointing me to. And the Zohar Kadosh says, the answer is, L'davkavo, to cling to Him. To be connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That means when you put on your tefillin, you have to pause just for a second and say, I'm putting on my tefillin to be connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When I buy a kosher product, when I can eat a non-kosher product, I say to myself, I'm choosing to purchase a kosher product, which is always going to be more expensive than the non-kosher product, because I want to be connected to Hashem. When I keep Shabbos, I say to myself, I'm keeping the halachos of Shabbos, I'm making sure to select the jelly beans from the bowl in the right way, not to violate borer, because I want to be connected to Hashem. And that's the 613 pieces of advice that the Torah is giving us, a relationship. From the first word of the Torah is begging us, I want to have a relationship with you. There was a tzaddik who lost his life at the hands of the Nazis. His name was Rav Shem Klingberg. Rav Shem Klingberg was a big, big tzaddik. He died on Kiddush Hashem. The Hakdama to the small little sefer that we have for him, it's called the Ohel Shem. It was put together by his son. Beautiful, beautiful, deep insights. Again, it's just a handful of the countless pages of Chidushim that he had written, which were lost during the war. And in the Hakdama it describes his tragic end and how he's mechazik people. He says, I'm going to die, Kiddush Hashem, and should bring a kapara to all of you who are still alive. He was mechazik people to go on. He was mekabel the Yisurim Ba'ava. But he has a piece in Parshas Mishpatim. And he says a very beautiful insight, Ba'omek Pnimi, to the first word of the Torah, Bereshis. We know the word Bereshis. Well, the truth is we don't know. It's hard to translate. Rashi, right? In the beginning is not really the correct translation. Okay, but the word Bereshis. We see the letters before our eyes. You open up a Sefer Torah, that's all you see. You see letters. Right? But the letters have the kudos. And we know in the various layers of Torah thought, Pshat, Remez, Drush, and Sod, right, the nekudos are a deeper dimension even than the letters themselves. The crowns on top of Rabbi Akiva is darshaning all the crowns. The tagin, right, the kutzin on top of the letters. So the nekudos are a very deep parish of the Torah. So Rav Shem Klingberg writes in the Ohel Shem He says, if you understand the word Bereishis with its nekudos, you understand what the whole Torah is about. He says, we have three different relationships with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. One of the relationships we have with the Kadosh Baruch Hu is like a parent to a child. It says in the Torah, Devarim, Perek Yudal, Pasuk Aleph, Parshas Ve'ei, Banim Atem LaHashem Elokeichem. Parent to child. Another relationship we have with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, Leman Achai Ve'rei. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is like a friend to us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is like a spouse to us. Right? We married HaKadosh Baruch Hu at Har Sinai. Pasuk says in Mishlei, Re'acha V'Re'a Avicha Al Ta'azov. Don't abandon your friend. Who is your friend? Says Rashi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not a funny thing to say that Hashem is our friend. Sometimes people say, Hashem is your friend? Yes, Rashi in Mishlei. Re'acha Al Ta'azov. Don't abandon your friend. Rashi says it refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Hashem is like a friend to us. Hashem is a contemporary of ours, so to speak. A spouse. Right? The deepest relationship, perhaps, as expressed by Bashir Ashirim, when it says, Yonasi, Rayasi, right? Tu'umasi, Tu'umim, twins. Twins. Like two children, right, who are formed side by side, mamish within one person, within the mother. Right? Maybe that's the deepest relationship of all. So says Rav Shem Klingberg, look at the nekudos under the first word of the Torah. If I was drawing a family tree, if I was trying to indicate different relationships, parent-child, right? Husband and wife, brother and sister, right? How would I draw it? Under the base of Bereishis, you see what? A shva, a dot on top of a dot. A parent to a child. Under the resh, you see two dots next to each other, tzeirei. That represents l'man achai v'rei'ai. And then lastly, the third nekuda, tucked under the shin, Bereishis, that single dot representing the ultimate hiskashas between us and the Kadosh Baruch Hu, like the twins who are formed within one mother. Bereishis, from the very first word of the Torah, beneath the surface, the Kadosh Baruch Hu is calling out to us, says, I want to have a relationship with you. Taryag Eitan, 613 pieces of advice, where Kadosh Baruch Hu is saying, let's be friends, let's get to know each other. This is not just a book, and you're not just the Amma Sefer. This is Torah. This is the Torah Kadosh of Kadosh Baruch Hu. And it's a Torah that's being given to us every single day. We say in Birchas HaTorah that Hashem is a no-sein HaTorah. It doesn't say that Hashem gave us the Torah in the past. Again, if we want to look at the Torah as something of the past, then it's just stories of the past. I'll write better stories today. That's what Rishon Baruch Hu was saying. But if I understand that the Torah is constantly being given to us by Hashem Himself, no sein haTorah, like the Maharal writes about at the beginning of Tiferes Yisrael, to realize that there's a no sein, that there's a giver who's constantly involved in giving us the Torah, that changes the way I sit in front of the Sefer. That changes my excitement to figure out the Tosfos. Because I'm not just trying to understand what the Ri and Rabbeinu Tam say. I'm trying to understand what does the Borei Olam say to me by way of the Ri and Rabbeinu Tam. We know the Gemara in the Dharma Daf Pei Aleph. The Gemara says, Ama of the Aretz, what caused such terrible destruction, such terrible Chorban, Shelo Birchu B'Torah Tchila. Shelo Birchu B'Torah Tchila. And the Ran over there in the Dharma is a very famous comment quoting Rabbeinu Yonah. But I saw recently, I found in the Beis Yosef, in Siman Mem Zayin. In Siman Mem Zayin, where it talks about Birchas HaTorah. The Beis Yosef quotes B'Shem Mahari Abuhav, Rav Yitzchak Abuhav, a very interesting pshat. What does it mean Shlo Birchu B'Torah Tchila? Again, does that mean they didn't make Birchas HaTorah at all? The Birchas HaTorah was of a wrongful intent? The Beis Yosef brings Siman Mem Zayin B'Shem Mahari Abuhav. He says Shlo Birchu B'Torah Tchila. They didn't recite Birchas HaTorah. You know why? Because Torah was just another book to them. It had become just another intellectual study. The lashon of the Mahari Beirav. Maria Buav is Ku'umnus Ba'alma, like studying for any profession, another class, another subject, another thing to be learnt, right? And again, if that's all Torah is, so why am I going to choose Torah over anything else? Why is Talmud Torah connected Kulam? Why does Hashem beg us to study His Torah, right? And the answer is because that's not what Torah is. It's not Umnus Ba'alma. It's not just another study. It's not just another book. But again, it's a Kadosh Baruch Hu reaching out to us through time, no Sein HaTorah, offering to partner with us in any relationship we want, parent-child, husband-wife, dear friends, brothers, sisters, whatever it is. But Hashem says, let's be connected, let's think about each other, because that's the tachlis of your life. How do we achieve this? I want to give a very simple etza for a person to achieve this. Because again, you can misunderstand what I'm saying and say, okay, so what Rav Moshe Tzvi is saying is that we need to spend all day thinking about a Kadosh Baruch Hu. No, we need to spend all day with our head in the Gemara Ksubas. But we have to learn Ksubas in a way that it reflects my desire to be connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So how do I do that? So I want to offer an amazing insight from the Rambam in the Perush HaMishnah and an insight from the Chazon Ish. The Rambam was certainly someone who knew how to learn Torah. The Chazon Ish was certainly someone who knew how to learn Torah. And I want you to see in a very slight way they were able to make sure that they remain mindful of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the learning process. When we quote the Torah, when we want to reference the Torah, someone gets up and gives a Dvar Torah, Shabbos lunch, right? And they started it, and this week's parsha, the Torah says. The Torah says this, the Torah says that. The Rambam, very often in the Parish of Mishnah, could be all the time, I'm not sure, I haven't learned through the entire Rambam Parish of Mishnah, but very often, I've seen it enough times to know that the Rambam, very often in the Parish of Mishnah, when he quotes a Pasuk, he never says, the Torah says. That's not the language the Rambam uses. It's a little, again, it's a fine detail, but it changes the way that you look at the Torah. When the Rambam quotes a Pasuk, he very often prefaces it with the words, Amar Hashem Yisbarach. Isn't that nice? Amar Hashem Yisbarach, God says, Hashem says. It's a subtle reminder that the Torah doesn't say, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says. Hashem says by way of the Torah. Hashem says by way of Moshe Rabbeinu. Someone told me today there was a certain Rosh Yeshiva that whenever he would be sitting in the front of the Beis Medrash, and every now and again he'd get up and he'd start dancing a little bit. So one of the Talmidim after a while went over to him and said, well, what is that? I noticed that every now and again you jump out of your seat and you start to dance. He said, when I'm learning the Torah and I come to the Pasuk, Vayadaber Hashem al Moshe Leimor, I start to dance. Because that reminds me that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is speaking to us. Rav Shimshon Rafal Hirsch said, what's the most important Pasuk in the Torah? Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, V'Avtalecha Kamocha. Rav Shimshon Rafal Hirsch said the most important Pasuk in the Torah is Vayadaber Hashem al Moshe Leimor, that Hashem spoke to Moshe. That's why this book matters. That's why I care about the opinions of, again, the Rishonim, the Achronim, of the Tanoim, the Amoraim. I'm interested in Ravina and Rav Ashi because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is speaking to me through Ravina and Rav Ashi. So maybe we could change our language a little bit to talk like the Rambam. Instead of saying, the Torah says, maybe we should say Hashem says. And maybe that again will remind us that we're learning the Torah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a Torah Schaim, it's alive and well. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaking to us through His Torah. The Chazon Ish, in the second volume of the Maisa Ish, beautiful biographical work about the Chazon Ish's life, in the second volume, it tells us about an experience the Chazon Ish had as a young man, which transformed the way that the Chazon Ish learned Torah. I wish someone would have told me that clock is completely off, because I've been looking at it this whole time, and I'm thinking, wow, we've got a lot of time. We're over time already. Okay, so we'll wrap up in a few minutes. I apologize. I should have taken off my watch at the beginning. So the Chazon Ish was standing outside the door of a room where Rav Ben Zion Sternfeld was learning. How many people have heard of Rav Ben Zion Sternfeld? Not too many. I'll tell you who Rav Ben Zion Sternfeld is in one sentence. When the Chafetz Chaim was looking for someone to give him a haskama to the Mishnah Berurah, one of the people he turned to was Rav Ben Zion Sternfeld. Okay? So you already know a lot about Rav Ben Zion Sternfeld. So the Chazon Ish was standing outside the door of this Talmud Chacham, and he was listening to him learn. He wanted to hear how he learns. Chazon Ish was a younger man at the time. And he hears Rav Ben Zion Sternfeld sitting by himself, alone with his Gemara, and all of a sudden he hears from inside the room the following. And again, I think this is a way that if we would dedicate 3 seconds to the beginning of Morning Seder to do this, you might think, it's not going to make a roshim, it's not going to make a difference. It'll make a difference. It changed the way the Chazon Ish learned Torah for the rest of his life, and the Chazon Ish learned a lot of Torah for the rest of his life. He said, I heard Rav Ben Zion Sternfeld say, Amar HaRabbeinu Shel Olam, Shor Shenaga Chesapara. Hashem says, if an ox gores a cow. Now, you open up the Gemara, you're not going to find that Girsa. You look in the Bach, you're not going to find that Girsa. You look in the Dikduke Sofrim, maybe the Christians took that out. No, it was never part of the Gemara, it was never part of the Mishnah. Right? Rav Ben Zion Sternfeld added it to the Mishnah. Why? Because he wanted to remind himself, Shor Shenaga Chesapara, Azma. Good, so an ox ran into a cow. I don't have an ox, I don't have a cow. So what does it mean to me? So he would remind himself for 2 seconds. Amar HaRibono Sholem. The creator of the world says, Shor Shenaga Chesapara. And that's why it matters so much to us. That's why we care so much about it. That's what the Chosef Lublin was saying to Rav Simcha Bunin. If for a second I lose myself in Shor Shenaga Chesapara, I want you to catch me. I want you to tell me, I want you to pull me back and say, wait, you've lost the purpose here. The purpose is this is a way of connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Again, we're left with the big why. Why didn't Hashem just talk to us the way that we would talk to one another? Why did Hashem choose to disguise Himself in Shor Shenaga Chesapara? And maybe the answer is that mashal I told you from Rav Kook. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I want you to earn it. I'm not going to reveal Myself to you right away. I want you to sit with Me, and I want you to present yourself with humility, to come before Me, and to study Me, and to respect Me, and to take Me seriously. And then slowly, slowly, the Torah starts to open up. The Torah starts to present itself to us. I'll give you a Mar Makum. very same idea that Rav Kook says in that mashal. You'll take a look. Look at the Lashonos. I don't have it. I didn't have the sefer with me to take a look in the Mishnayos and the Tiferes Yisrael in Pirkei Avos in the fourth in the second parak. I'm sorry. In Pirkei Avos in Parak Beis Mishnah Dalad in the Tiferes Yisrael in the longer commentary at the bottom, the Boaz in Os Beis. Take a look over there how he describes how we're on a date with the Torah, and it's going to take some time to get to know the Torah. Right? And it's going to take some time before the Torah starts to talk to us in a more intimate fashion. And we start to have a more private relationship with the Torah. Beautiful Lishonos of the Tiferes Yisrael there in the second parak, in the second parak of Avos. But again, we have to at least be willing to take a few seconds at the start of the day to remind myself, why am I doing this? Why am I learning Torah? And again, for all the mitzvahs, because it's Tarayag Itin. Before I put on my tefillin, just for a second, just to pause for a second and say, this is a means of attaching my arm and my heart to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. I'm attaching my mind to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Right? I'm making choices and sacrifices in Avodas Hashem to keep Torah and Mitzvos because I want to be connected to you. I want to have a relationship with you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because I know how interested you are in having a relationship with me. I want to just end with a really amazing Maisa I saw from the Klausenberger Rebbe. Klausenberger Rebbe told a Maisa of two great Talmidei Chachamim who got into a little bit of a machlokas, a feisty machlokas, a heated machlokas. Over a certain area they were arguing. And one of these great minds, one of these great Torah minds, decided to write a letter to the other one, who he felt was really his junior in terms of learning, and he decided to put him in his place. And he wrote him this long list, this very, very long list. He wrote him this very long list, and each thing on the list, each of the 70 clauses that he wrote on the list started with the word Hayadata. Hayadata. And he was trying to put this fellow in his place to say, who are you to argue with me? Hayadata. Hayadata, do you know to count every letter of Tanakh? Because I know Tanakh forwards and backwards, Baal Peh. Hayadata, the entirety of Talmud Bavli, 2,711 pages? Because I do. I can take the pin test. Shakla Nataria, backwards and forwards. Hayadata, Talmud Yerushalmi. Hayadata, Dalet Chalkei Shulchan Aruch. Because I do. And he wrote a whole list of all of his accomplishments in learning. Hayadata Sifra V'Sifrei, Hayadata Mechilta, Hayadata the Zohar Kadosh, Hayadata, Hayadata, Hayadata. Do you know this? Do you know that? Do you know this? Do you know that? And if you don't, then who are you to argue on me? I have Das Torah. Look how much Torah I know. And this other Rav with great humility wrote back to him and he said, it's true. I know some of the things on your list. 70 things on your list, I don't know. He says, but I want to present to you the following question. There's one Hayadata that I have. There's one Hayadata that I want to ask you that I'm choshesh that maybe you don't know. One Hayadata that I think that I've worked on to acquire, and I'm pretty confident, based on the way that you wrote that list, that perhaps you missed out on one Hayadata. He wrote to him the pasuk, V'yadata yom v'shevosa lovecha ki Hashem hu elokim einod. Hayadata? Do you know that there's a Borei Olam? For all of your learning accomplishments, has it reminded you, has it taught you that there's a creator of the world? Do you feel more connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Do you feel that you're a shliach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that you're a chelek elokim imal, that's sent on a mission to this world? Or have you lost yourself? Have you lost yourself in the Beis Medrash? Have you lost your way in the Beis Medrash? Can you imagine? Did you lose his way in the Beis Medrash? But it can happen. And then God forbid what happens is that when yeshiva is over, so I move on to the next sport. You know, for some people in high school, right, they're good at basketball, they're good at hockey, and that's where the competition is. Then you come to yeshiva, and we just take it, just a different arena. It's a new sport. Who can learn the longest? Right? Who can stay in the base the latest? Right? And it's just another sport. And then when I finish yeshiva, for some people, if I haven't really acquired a kesher, shokayama, with Torah, with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, so then I move on to the next sport. Who can get the better job? Who can make more money? Who can marry the prettier girl? And my whole life becomes one whole game of falsehood, of pursuing what? Of pursuing kavod, and kina, and taiva. And it's all really just a hemshech of when you were sitting on the floor as a four-year-old with your friend, playing with little toy cars and trying to crush each other's other car. God forbid the Torah can become a weapon. There's a Torah shelo lishma that can also be the type of Torah that the Gemara says better not to learn Torah at all. So I want to give you all a bracha. Baruch Hashem, you're in yeshiva. And you're putting many, many hours into learning Torah. Just try to make sure that it's also a relationship with the Kodesh Baruch. That we shouldn't lose sight of a Kodesh Baruch for all of the in-depth learning that you're doing, and it's gavaltic, and you should. This is not a speech about learn things other than Gemara. That's not what this is about. It's about learn everything that you're learning already. But just make sure that you learn it in a way that you can have an encounter with the Kodesh Baruch. Remember what Rav Gifter told us. Even though we've never met HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks to us in funny ways sometimes, He speaks to us through the minutiae and the details of the Rishonim, the Achronim, and the Dikduke Halacha. But every word, every letter is HaKadosh Baruch Hu reaching out to us. Bereishis. Hashem wants to have a relationship with us. Hashem wants us to be Davuk Bo. And Mir Tashem, if we could do such a thing, then we'll really start to feel what the Tanya is describing. That when you learn Torah, you're hugging the King. And you feel that the King is hugging you back. And Mir Tashem, if we could have such a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then in that way we'll give tremendous nachas ruach to the Borei Olam. Shkoyach.